accept it. This is the DSR NHL Dynasty Podcast with your host, Christopher McDonald. Ooh, yeah.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Christopher McDonald, your host and the commissioner of the Degenerates Stretch Run Dynasty League. You can find me on Twitter at CMAC Canada, and this is episode 6 of the DSR NHL Dynasty Podcast. Thanks for listening. This week, we're going to have your regular schedule. We're going to do news and notes. We're going to do the game of the week review. No interview again this week. Next week, I'm going to see if we can get some people on the show. And then I'm going to go into a few things I wanted to talk about with regards to the playoffs coming and some of the differences we could have seen if we'd taken other formats with the league. So hope you guys enjoy the show. Let's get to the news and notes. As usual, the biggest notes around the league tend to be regarding COVID cancellations. The Boston Bruins and New York Islanders missed some games at the end of the week, and that's bled into the start of the week for week 11. The North Division now has its first case of COVID, or major case of COVID, with the Montreal Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers. They're going to miss 3 games this week, which has a pretty big impact on the league. Obviously, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl owners, and you know, there's a lot of other players in there too. Some of us may have just recently traded for some of those players. And that's going to lead us into the big news of the week, is we had our trade deadline. And since we last had a podcast, we saw 8 deals made in the league. So let's take a look at those, because certainly that really shook up the league. So the first trade we had, pretty big trade. The then known as Alvin Simon and Shea Theodore, who's changed their name now to Monahan Job. So let me get that out of the way, that when you hear me speaking about Monahan Job, that's actually Alvin Simon and Shea Theodore, our last place team. That's already going through a rebrand in the second half of year one. So Monahan Job ends up getting Cody Glass, one of the players on our trade bait board, one of the younger players, Pekka Rinne, goaltender out of Nashville, and a first round pick this year, in exchange for Matthias Ekholm, also one of our trade deadline players. Young Senators goaltender Joey Decord, this is of course before the injury, and a third round pick in 21. So a pretty good go for it deal for Brennan Zink, who ends up picking up Matthias Ekholm and a young goaltender and a third round pick. And for Monahan Job, definitely picks up a young player and a first round pick. So they're feeling good about a pretty even deal for both sides. Next deal to process, I'm eating a little bit of crow on this one, because I was saying in the league chat that I didn't think the Peter North Stars made any very good players available, but a pretty good return. They traded Evgeny Kuznetsov for Brendan Gallagher and a third round pick. You know, considering what I kind of felt as the value for Kuznetsov, getting Gallagher and a third round pick is fantastic. So I think that's a really good trade. And for the better Koivu, who picks up Kuznetsov, they are going to be really happy probably with what they're going to get out of Kuznetsov going down the stretch here for Washington. The next deal is between Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles and Clan MacKinnon. Johnny Mac's going through a rebuild and picked up a second round pick. Clan MacKinnon gets Alex Radulov and a fourth round pick. So just moving down 2 rounds in the draft, picks up a versatile winger that can play the left or the right side. Then I got into the action. I was finally able to trade Nazem Kadri. I traded him with a third round pick, and Kadri had been playing very well. If you use the website and look at the last 10 games, Kadri had been averaging almost 2.5 points a game. So adding a third round pick to trade him afterwards didn't feel 100% great. But I was able to trade Kadri to Leafs the rest behind. And he sent me Shea Weber and Duncan Keith and a 5th round pick. So I get much stronger at the defense, whereas Leafs the rest behind adds a incredibly productive forward and center only, but definitely somebody you could stick into your flex position or your second center and feel really good about it. After that, we've got Monahan Job and Clan MacKinnon at it again. Cal Pettersson, you might remember they traded this player back and forth earlier in the year. So now Monahan job gets Cal Pettersson back and a third round pick and sends Jack Campbell and a second round pick to Clan MacKinnon. Those Leaf fans are really hoping Jack Campbell's going to be the answer there. So I'm sure upgrading the pick, going from the third to the second round, and then getting the young goaltender that Monahan job had just added off waivers, probably a good deal for both. Both pretty happy. Then we've got Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles and Leafs the Rest Behind. Big deal where Leafs the Rest Behind gets Jamie Benn, Jordan Eberle, and a fifth round pick, and sends just a second round pick to Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles as they continue the rebuild. Pretty big haul for Leafs the Rest Behind during this trade deadline. I can tell you when I was talking about setting up the trade board and getting the trade deadline set up, Mark D, the owner fantasy manager on Leafs the Rest Behind, definitely he was sort of just stepping into it lightly, but then ends up making two of the bigger deals for the deadline and adding a lot of scoring power to that already high-scoring lineup. So he's definitely got a team that's going for it this year. And the last deal for the deadline, another big one. Monahan job and Clan MacKinnon at it again. Monahan job gets Sean Monahan, which hence the new name, Bowen Byram, and a fifth round pick. And Clan MacKinnon gets Philip Chytil, Thomas Hertl, and a fourth round pick. So again, Clan MacKinnon's moving up in the draft and picking up some scoring forwards and sending out Monahan and Bowen Byram, which was likely the key to this deal, because Byram's obviously an up-and-coming player for Colorado and should slot in nicely on that team as they go to try to win a Stanley Cup. That'll do it for this week's news and notes, sort of dominated by the trade deadline, but a pretty good addition. Let's get to the game of the week. So last week's game of the week, between the Peter North Stars and Charlestown Chiefs, we chose that one because it seemed to have some major playoff implications for both teams. And we ended up getting a pretty close game. Peter North Stars takes this one down 59-46, but both teams weren't able to get over the average. So considering Peter North Stars just ends up getting one win and one loss, whereas two losses to the Charlestown Chiefs, this one ends up being a little less impactful than we thought, but a good game nonetheless. Three stars of the week, definitely the number one star. It's got to be Bo Horvat for the Peter North Stars. Ended up with 10.04 points to lead both teams in total points. Next, we're going to get the goaltender from Charlestown Chiefs, Tristan Jarry, 6.68 points, and a pretty good week for the goaltender. And then Tyler Toffoli on the losing squad as well. Charlestown Chiefs' Tyler Toffoli had 7.35 points and a really good week for the Montreal Canadiens, and tried to get the Chiefs back in there. But let's find out what went wrong in this week's busts. Well, it was a bad week in the NHL for the Buffalo Sabres, and we're going to feel that in this week's busts for sure. The number one bust of the week has to be Sam Reinhardt, because Charlestown Chiefs would have been better off just leaving the right wing spot empty, as he ended up with minus 0.21 points. So certainly had they put anybody else in or just left the spot blank, they would have been a little bit better off. Sam Reinhardt's our number one bust of the week. Next, you've got Rasmus Ristolainen, ends up with 0.8 points for the Peter North Stars, and definitely problems in Buffalo. Final bust of the week for Charlestown Chiefs is the other goaltender for them, unfortunately. Martin Jones ends up with a 1.22 total score, and you need to get a little bit more from your goaltending to get a win. Honestly, honorable mentions on the bust side, Austin Matthews ends up with 1.25 points, Patrick Kane 1.58, Kempe for LA is 0.74, so kind of a few misses here. As far as missed starts, again, I'm eating crow on this show. Troy Terry, a player that the Charlestown Chiefs had made available for the trade deadline, I hadn't really been aware of them. They had 5.45 points this week, and certainly would have been a better start than that Sam Reinhart start. And also Trevor Zegras for the Peter North Stars ends up with 4.41 points and is starting to look like an incredible young player for that team. Also want to mention Kaapo Kakko ending up this week with 0.05 or negative 0.05 points. Really struggling in New York, and you wonder if that's going to end up being a complete bust pick at the top of the draft for them. And hopefully it turns around quickly for the Chiefs, because it's right now just a lineup spot that you can't use at all. So because of some scheduling issues for me this week and some other things, I wasn't able to do my recording for the show until a Thursday. So when picking the game of the week for next week, I'm already getting to see deep into the week's scoring to maybe pick a team that, or a game that maybe is a little bit better. Like for instance, based on records and playoff impact, I probably would have chosen my game against the Peter North Stars, or maybe I wouldn't because the Peter North Stars seem to be involved in every game of the week. But that one, because the Peter North Stars are at 8-10 and my team's at 10-8, that would have been a good one. But Andrew Kopp pretty much put a nail in the coffin in me last night with a 4-goal effort. He ends up with 10 points in a single game, which, as you heard earlier, would be enough points typically to be the top scorer for a team. So I don't think we're going to look at that one. The only other one that seems to have a lot of playoff implication, or at least bye week implication, is the matchup between Burnin Zink and the Semen Stains. Semen Stains is at 8-10. Burnin Zink is trying to lock up that first round bye. They're 13-5. But right now, Semen Stains is leading 27-18 on the Thursday. So why don't we check back on that one at the start of next week and see how that one ended up. So we'll take a look at Burnin Zink and Semen Stains going into next week. And that's going to bring us into the scoring review segment that I want to get to before I sign off a little early this week. Okay, final segment of the day, and I hope you guys find this one a little bit interesting. What I wanted to look at is the different ways you can play fantasy hockey and what the league would look like after our 9 weeks that we've played if we had done it a different way. So we didn't play in week one, and we've only completed week 10, so we have 9 total weeks. So right now, the records in the league are Burnin Zink leading it, tied with Leafs the Rest Behind at 13-5. Then you've got Mr. Last Place and the Better Koivu at 12-6. Sidorkowitz and Clan MacKinnon at 10-8. Peter North Stars and the Semen Stains at 8-10. Basingstoke Bison and Charlestown Chiefs at 7-11. And then Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles is 6-12. And Manahan Job at the bottom at 4-14. However, say we had not had the above average scoring that we do, and we had only gone with head-to-head, it wouldn't have a huge impact as the top, well, I guess what you could see is the top 4 teams in the league would be all tied right now. So Burnin Zink, Leafs the Rest Behind, Mr. Last Place, and the Better Koivu would all be tied at 6-3 on a head-to-head. My team, the Sidorkowitz and Clan MacKinnon, would be right behind at 5-4. The Peter North Stars and Semen Stains would only be 2 games back with 2 weeks left, so they would have a look at the bye, although pretty unlikely. And then you've got Basingstoke Bison would be down at 3-6 and just about eliminated from playoff contention. Charlestown Chiefs and Johnny Mac Dirty Dangles at 4-5, and Monahan John would be 1-8. And that's based on the head-to-head. So it definitely would make a difference in the race for the bye weeks, whereas those teams are up by one now. They would have all been tied. And whereas myself and Sean were 3 games back, we would only have been 1 game back. So a little bit closer in the standings if you do the head-to-head, whereas now I think we've got those teams that ended up above the average a little bit more often. The other one that I thought was kind of interesting was when I was setting up the league, there was an option for if I wanted to have everyone play against the average each week or play against the mean. And the differences with the mean is that no matter what, since we're 12 teams, the mean would be at 6 teams. So it would always be the top 6 scoring teams would get an extra win, and the bottom 6 would always get an extra win. With the average, you can end up having only 5 teams or 4 teams, or, you know, it all depends on what the average score is and if people beat the average score. If we had done just against the average score, it actually wouldn't have changed a lot of things for many teams, but it would have changed things dramatically for Clan MacKinnon. Clan MacKinnon was able to get over the average a couple times, but that was when the average added an extra team. So they would have lost 2 wins. So instead of being at 10 and 8, they would be at 8 and 10. So that would have been a dramatic difference if we played against the mean for Clan MacKinnon, as well as for the Basingstoke Bison. They would have lost a game too and be tied for second last place with Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles. The last one that, of course, I think is interesting because it dramatically helps my team is if we had done scoring based on total points scored. So the number one scoring team in the league right now is Burnin's Inc., followed by my team, I would be in second place. Then it would be Leafs the Rest Behind, Mr. Last Place, The Better Koivu, Clan MacKinnon, Peter North Stars, Basingstoke Bison, Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles. Monahan Job would actually end up in third last place based on points scored. And surprisingly, Seven Stains would be the second last team in the league. And then finally, the Charlestown Chiefs would be our lowest scoring team in the league. So kind of interesting when you change that up. Really makes a dramatic difference for Seven Stains and Sidorkiewicz and the Chiefs, for sure. So I think if we take a look at this, we're all pretty happy with the way the league's gone. Looks like we've got the best teams at the top and fighting for a chance. And I do think the league's run pretty well. I'm pretty happy with it. Happy with the way the podcast has evolved. And again, I do apologize for a bit of a short show this week, but life happens, and I've been busy, so back off. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next week.